Good day, and welcome to the Marine Harvest Q1 Results Conference. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Alf Borchert-Falk. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Again, welcome to the presentation of the Q1 results for Marine Harvest. I will start with the highlights on page three. The first quarter for Marine Harvest was another record quarter. It's the best first quarter we've ever had in this company. Operational EBIT ended at euro 220 million. This was on the back of record high salmon prices in all markets, and driven by the combination of strong demand and 4.2% decline in supply. Maybe one of the special highlights is very strong performance and improvement in Marine Harvest Scotland in this quarter, closing in and making an EBIT of 55 million euros. We also finalized an acquisition for the assets for Gray Aqua Group. This is an operation that we will enter into on the east coast of Canada over time. The dividend was proposed by the board to be 3 NOK per share, and this is subject to approval by the AGM that will be held on the 1st of June this year. I go on to some key financial numbers on page four. Operational revenue was up 10% compared to the corresponding quarter in 2016. Operational EBIT almost doubled, up 96%, at close to 220 million euros in this quarter. Harvest volume was down, so volume in total down 13% from 96,000 tons in Q1 2016, down to 83,000 tons in Q1 2017. We then go on to take a quick look at the salmon prices and the development of salmon prices during the quarter. We will see it's in fact record high prices in all markets. This goes for Europe, Americas, and Asia. I will come back to these numbers and the changes here later in the presentation. If you then go to page six on the presentation, that covers the contract share and the quality here measured in superior share of the salmon harvested. We see that the contract share in Norway was at 55% in this quarter. We also can see the price achievement here on this graph, showing the price achievement compared to the spot price index. For Norwegian salmon, we achieved 93% of the spot price, meaning that our contracts, we lost money on contracts compared to the spot price in the quarter. The Scottish salmon fetched 97% in total, with a contract share of 41%, so higher spot sales there than a normal first quarter for the Scottish operation. In Canada, we are all spot, so there we are close to 100% compared to the index we compare to. Then we have a Chilean operation, which is contracted at 25% and gave a 91% price achievement. The quality in terms of superior share was great in Norway with 94%, even better in Scotland with 96%, and then at 89% and 88% for Canada and Chile correspondingly. If you then go on to page seven in this presentation, you will see the bridge in terms of operational EBIT from Q1 2016 until the end result this quarter. You will see feed is slightly below what we achieved in the first quarter of 2016, down 1.5 million euros. Farming, and this is price driven, is up 114.4 million euros. Market, which is the organization that deal with spot sales and volumes, is down, and this is because of lower volumes. consumer products that makes value-added products improved their operational EBIT with 10.2 million euros compared to the corresponding quarter next year. So all in all, that explains other is for the most part translation effect between the different operations. Then, if you then continue on to page 8, you see the Norwegian result. Overall, a good result, 123.6 million euros, so in operational EBIT, compared to 100 million euros in the same quarter the year before. Volumes are down to 49,000 tons, compared to 53,000 tons. And you can see on the waterfall on the right side there in this page, the explanation. Price up, volume has a negative effect, so lower volume gives an effect in terms of the earnings. Feed cost on fish harvested was up, really because of higher economical feed conversion ratio, and that has to do with losses and losses of fish, so you have less fish to divide the feed used on. Other cost, non-seawater cost, is also up in this quarter. And in general, the Norwegian operation has high cost in the first quarter of 2017. If we then go on to look at contracts portfolio for the Norwegian operation, you will see that we had approximately in total volumes 25,000 tons in contract in Q1 2017. Going forward, it's fairly stable volumes, around 25,000 tons for the next two quarters to come. If you then enter into a little bit more details on different regions in the Norwegian operation, we can see how they developed. Marine Harvest Norway stood for a little bit more than 50% of the operational EBIT, so obviously Norway is an important region, though less important in terms of total numbers than before. And the Norwegian operation is divided into four regions. This is geographically divided in. So region south, going from the far south in Norway up to the fjord called Sognefjorden. And then it's the region west that goes from this fjord up to another piece of ocean called Hustavika. And then it's the region mid, goes from Hustavika and north of Trondheim, our fair part. And then it's the northern part of Norway, which goes from an area called Folla up to the northern part of Troms. To comment on these figures, region south has a good improvement and a good result, and is in fact the best region for the first time at least in many, many years, and performing well in this quarter. The other regions can improve. Region west is below what we expect, same with region mid. Region north, we can explain with very low volumes in this quarter and does not that high of a profit in total. All in all, 2.52 euros per kilo, maybe slightly on the downside of what we expect for the Norwegian operation. So here we have absolutely room for improvement going forward. On the next page, the page 11, our Scottish operation, and tremendous improvement quarter on quarter, went from 8.5 million euros in operational EBIT to 55 million euros in operation. This on the back of higher volumes, lower cost, and better price achievement. So all in all, a very good cost performance, but also and biologically good operation. We harvested out from some very low-cost sites, so just to give a heads-up, we don't expect the cost to be at the same level going forward, but we expect good operations in Scotland also in the continuous quarter to come. Then go to page 12 and take a look at the Canadian operation. Still very good performance, 3.42 euros per kilo harvested in profit, operational EBIT up from 22.8 to 30.2 in this quarter. and that on the back of significantly lower volumes from 11,500 tonnes in Q1 16 down to 8,800 tonnes in Q1 2017. And again, if you follow the waterfall, we see a better price achievement effect from volumes, slightly higher cost on especially other seawater cost and non-seawater cost, that is partly influenced by the lower volumes and especially non-seawater cost, which is the processing part of the business, and cost tends to go up when you lower volumes in processing. Again, good market, and we have also, as already said, finalized the acquisition of Gray Aqua in this quarter. Then on to page 13, which shows the details from the Chilean operation. Here we went from an operational EBIT at negative 24 million up to close to 12 million euros in operational EBIT for this quarter, and that is on the basis of a much lower harvest volume. We went down from 15,300 tonnes in Q1 16 to 6,300 tonnes in Q1 2017. This is mainly explained by the algae bloom that happened in March 2016, and that where many operators, including Marine Harvest, lost fish. So record high prices there on the back of reduced supply, and then improved cost also, even on these low volumes, we've been able to improve cost in Chile, which is good. Just a heads up for the next quarter, we will have one-off there in regards to mature fish that will amount to about $4 million Canadian dollars. This is, in fact, an operational error that should not have happened, but will not happen again in terms of this has to do with using lights on the sun. Some regulatory changes there that we think will increase cost for the industry, at least for the long term. Page 14 shows two of our smaller operations in farming, Ireland and Faroe Islands. Good contribution from Marine Harvest Ireland, mostly an organic farming operation, and good improvement from Q1 2016. Faroe Islands has a tremendous result, 4.51 euros per kilo. But it, as you see, smaller harvest volume, 1,100 tonnes. If we then continue on to page 15, we will see the consumer products. This is the division that takes the salmon into ready-to-eat meals in various proportions, in various forms, like smoked salmon, marinated salmon, fresh portions, sushi, and the like. Good improvements. Q1 is not the best quarter for this operation, but still we had good operational improvements in most of our factories. We had somewhat a negative volume development driven by both late Easter effect this year. Easter is high season for salmon in many markets, and also higher prices to the customers, which have an effect in a few markets. We are building a new value-added plant in Canada on the west coast, just outside of Vancouver, meant for supplying the west coast of the U.S. and Canada with salmon, and we expect it to open in Q3 2017. Then on to our feed division, page 15. The result, this is low season for fish feed, and this is fish feed in Norway. It was slightly down. Volumes are slightly down as well. What we see here is high self-feed sufficiency. We supply only Norway with this factory. But as we speak, we are building a feed factory in Scotland. There's a picture of the start of that project down on this page. We expect the feed plant in Scotland to open in second half of 2018. And this will the Scottish operation will supply Ireland with feed, Faroe Islands with feed, Scotland, and then it will supply all freshwater feed for smolt and the like throughout Europe. If we then continue on, and the next few slides will be on financials. we have pretty much been through the number on page 18, so I will not repeat the key numbers there, and maybe just turn directly over to the financial position on page 19. And here you see no really major changes in the financial position. Company is still solid. The total balance sheet here is the net interest-bearing debt being at 842 million euros compared to year-end at 890 million euros. So indicates good cash flow also through the quarter. That keeps us turning on and onto page 20, which really shows the cash flow for the operation. And this takes the net interest bearing debt in the period start with the beginning, which is the end of 2016, and then it explains the different stages of cash flow. As you can see here, cash flow from operation is great, and for 7.8 million euros. CapEx is in line with budget for the quarter, 57 million euros. And then you have the following items going down. Dividend distributed amounted to 142 million euros in the quarter. And overall, we came out at the end, as already said, at 842 million euros as net interest-bearing debt. Recall here that Marine Harvest operates after a net interest-bearing debt target, and that is unchanged at 1 billion and 50 million euros, which is where we manage the business around. Cash flow guidance, well, not a lot of changes here. Slight change to the CapEx up to 250 million euros. And here the lion's share of the change is a freshwater expansion in Scotland, which has progressed quicker than budgeted. So instead of waiting until 2018 to finalize this, we have forwarded 10 million euros and complete the project quicker than anticipated. New feed plant in Scotland, 35 million euros, in total 110 million euros in line with expectations. And then consumer product expectation, among them the plant in Dallas and the new one in Canada, plus a few other issues there, is at 25 million euros. Interest paid, 25 million euros. Taxes paid in the quarter, 150 million euros. And then the quarterly dividend, already said, in the Q2 2017, will be paid after the AGM on 1st of June at NOK 3 per share. Then on page 22, and there's an overview on the financing. We have a convertible bond at 375 million euros that is now converting into shares. And as you have seen over the day, we have entered into a term sheet agreement with our original banks, plus two new banks, Danske Bank and SEB, at the facility of euro 1.2 billion as a bank loan. Maturity is 5 years, covenant only one covenant, 35% equity ratio. There's also an accordion option in this instrument. And then in this way, we will have a very solid financing together with the other instruments in and off Marine Harvest. Then turn on to page 23, that shows the supply development of salmon from the producing countries in this quarter compared to the same quarter in 2016. We see that Norway increased supply with 6,000 tons, up 2.5%. The other, Chile, was down with 24,700 tons, 17%, and that is the result again of the algae bloom that happened in March 2016. All in all, 4.2% reduction from 491,000 ton Q1 16 to 471,000 ton in Q1 2017. To come back to the prices, we took a quick look at that earlier on. The Norwegian price Q1 2017 was at Euro 7.27, up 18.2% compared to the Q1 2016. That is on the back of increased supply from Norway, and in fact increased supply at 1.5% in Europe. So a very strong development, but even stronger so on Chilean fish and North American fish, meaning Canadian fish, into the U.S. market. You see there a range from really 37% North American fish up to 59% on gutted fish into the U.S. market. So exceptionally strong quarter price-wise. And that is on the back of reduced supply. So, but still, in value terms, this indicates a very strong demand for the product. If you then turn to page 25, global volumes by market, they are obviously in volume terms and ton terms down, and we can see the different markets. They're broken into Europe, and Europe being down 8.1%. That is not quite 50% of the salmon market, but total Europe is close and actually in over 50%, including Russia and other Europe. So we see there a reduction of 8.7%. U.S. is down 4.8%, and most markets here being down. If you look at volume-wise, Russia is a lot down, same as Brazil in this quarter. And this is a consequence of obviously lower supply as well. I think in terms of value, as already said, demand is high, and that is shown in the graph before where you showed the price development on the product. We then go to supply outlook and the guidance in terms of what's going to happen to supply in 2017. For the year, we see a low supply growth between 1 or 5%. We run a range here, so you add this up, average will be around 3% growth in total for 2017. In the table on page 26, you will see also the second quarter, which is the quarter we're in right now. We expect slight growth in the second quarter between 0 and 4%. And then in the second half of the year, between 4 and 10% growth. And you see here, Chile coming back with higher volumes is the main explanation of the growth in the second half. We then go on to marine harvest volumes and take a look at that. We have unchanged guidance of 403,000 ton gutted weight for the year, but we change a little bit, or we reduce Norway with 8,000 ton. We increase Scotland by 5,000 ton due to good growth, and we increase Faroe Islands again also due to good growth and higher smolt size with 2,500 ton. So basically at the same level, but maybe we have changed the growth there somewhat. That should be favorable in terms of earnings. We earn more money both in Scotland and Faroe Islands than we do in Norway at the time. Then to the last page, overall low global supply in 2017. We will see a variability in supply growth between Europe and Americas, more so fish to come from Chile, as we already looked at. Look at future prices for the next 12 months. They are 6.5 euros per kilo, or in Norwegian krone terms, 62 per kilo, not per kilo. Then China is an interesting market and a potential big market for Norwegian salmon. What has happened in this quarter is that the Norwegian relationship to China that has been hampered since the Nobel Peace Prize was given in 2010 has normalized. What's left to do there is to kind of normalize also the veterinarian regulations on salmon, which we believe will be done shortly. this has an upside for Norwegian salmon into China, and we have the potential to develop also this market based on the biggest producing country, which is Norway. We have hired a new MD for our East Canada operation, and this is a person that comes from internal sources and known the industry in on the East Coast very well. So we've started production planning and we'll continue to gradually build a region on the East Coast of Canada, mainly in Newfoundland. And then again, quarterly dividend, maybe not said already, but again, repayment of paid in capital, but this time subject to approval of annual general meeting on 1st of June 2017. So with that, I will turn this over to the operator and open up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we will go to our first question from Fredrik Iversen with Kepler.
Yes, hi, thank you. So two questions from my side, if I may. First, starting in China on the talks you are having with Alibaba. I'm wondering if you can give some color on that cooperation and what it might imply in terms of distribution into China. And the second on the price level on the contracts you're signing towards the end of this year and maybe beginning of 2018, if you can give a ballpark figure on what to expect there. Thank you.
Well, in terms of China, it's we'd not comment directly on individual customers. It's more to open up for trade with China on Norwegian salmon that we think have high potential. Obviously, individual customers are important to sell the fish, and internet sales in China is absolute of interest for us. So this is a work in progress and nothing we comment on officially in terms of details of the transactions. Then to your second question, which are contract prices. We expect contract prices to stay at high levels. Slight increase over the next year is what we see, but more stabilized than what we have seen, and not so high increases that we have seen previous. But again, this is ongoing discussions and ongoing contracts that might change as we go forward. Okay, next question.
We do not have any questions in queue. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to queue for a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow any questions to come into queue. At this time, there are no questions.
Yeah. Then I will just say thank you very much for listening in, and we will be back Sorry?
Pardon the interruption, but we do have a question from Sam Glover with Tideway Investment Partners.
Okay.
Please go ahead. Mr. Glover, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. You talked about supply in Chile picking up in H2 this year. I just wonder if you could give us a bit more guidance on supply outlook going forward there over the next, the medium-term horizon, what we can expect versus historically, given the regulatory hurdles there.
In terms of the year, as you see in the table, we expect Chile to grow between 1% to 7%. But this is sort of skewed. So having a huge drop in supply in the first quarter, then just a slight growth or between 2% and 7% in the second quarter is our expectations, and then a higher growth in the second half. So in Chile alone, our estimate is somewhere in between 13% and 22%, high range, but still some uncertainty, obviously, that indicates somewhat uncertainty into these numbers. In terms of the regulations in Chile, if you look at them, you would expect that over time it will be very hard to grow production in Chile. So I think this is coming back from the algae bloom, but if the regulations that are in place will be enforced, I don't think we would see anything like this going forward. But that again, is dependent upon that the regulations are enforced. In fact, what you would believe would be the case if regulations are enforced in Chile is probably a slight reduction of production in 2018 compared to 2017. But these are complicated regulations, and it's dependent on the mortality level in the operations in Chile, how this pins out. So it's uncertain. We expect it to be, in fact, a lower production in 2018 based on what we see in fish health, which is basis for the regulation in Chile. Hope that was some help.
Very helpful. Thank you.
And again, it's star one to ask a question. And there are no questions in queue.
Okay, then I would just...
I'm sorry to interrupt again. We did just get another question. Did you want to take it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And it's from Enrique Olson with CPEIB. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, good afternoon. Just would like to hear your thoughts on what you expect from the harvest weight in Norway, because there's some sell side analysts pointing out that it's been at very low level and expecting a kind of normalization. What's your thoughts on that topic for 2017, and if you have any comments for 2018 as well?
The harvest weight in Norway, it's a little bit early to kind of give an answer on that completely, because of currently sea lice situation is more or less, I would say, more under control. But if you go back 1 year and take a look at sea lice situation in beginning of May in 2016, I would have said the same. Low levels of sea lice. Operation seems to be under good control. I know most companies have invested in more equipment, more methods to deal with this issue. And then again, last year we had issues on sea lice and big issues in terms of especially August, September, and October. That was really what dragged the average weight down. So there is no certainty if we succeed with all the measurements we put in place in terms of combating sea lice, you might see an increased average harvest weight. But this estimate that you see here and a growth in Norway from 3% and a second half from 1% to 5% is our best estimate currently, also taking into account the expected average weight.
Okay. And the comments you made on Chile just a few minutes ago, did you say that you expect a lower total supply in 2018 than in 2017?
Yes, but be aware that this is based that the regulation that are in place are enforced.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So if regulations are not enforced, well, then I guess Chile is what Chile always has been, unpredictable. But the government has put a lot of resources in to come up with new regulations on density. So just to explain, if you have mortality on a site over a certain threshold, you have to drop the density at harvest from 17 kilo per cubic meter to 8 kilo per cubic meter. With the same number of cages, that means half of the production on that site. and not all sites in Chile are perfect. So I think it's more likely, if regulations are enforced, that production will come down rather than up from what we see now.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Patrick Mortensen with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Just a quick one on alternative farming methods. What do you detect on the development of onshore farming methods, the scale that they can be built up at and at these particular prices? I would imagine that they'll be quite profitable now and it's just a matter of scaling it up, or is that a bit too fast a conclusion?
Well, there are a few projects ongoing. There are many prospects. There's obviously the operation that's going to come online in the U.S., at least a lot of talk about that. I don't know that project in detail. The same we see in terms of ideas and projects around farming on land in China. You know, it's early days. I will have to say that the only land-based system of any size today is Longsan Lux, which is a company in Denmark. I don't think they have harvested 1,000 tons yet. Maybe this year they will go to 1,500 tons. They have had their fair part of challenges with diseases and the like in the land-based system. I think we will see more challenges before this is solved. And then the question is on energy costs and also the fact that, you know, in some of these areas you need to chill down the water. You need to obviously recirculate and have a good effect on that. And you have the access to egg supply as well, which it might be an issue, at least to some countries. Saying that, never say never, and we are following this project quite closely, but so far we have decided to focus on our own operation and try to improve that. I think there's still quite a few years before we see any significant supply from these projects.
Okay, thank you.
Again, that's star one if you'd like to queue for a question. And we'll take our next question from Enrique Bolson.
Can you update us, could you please update us on any signs of demand destruction in markets where the retailers have increased the prices substantially during the spring? For example, in Germany and UK?
In Germany we saw a reduction in sales in just after New Year's, after prices was increased quite substantially. It's leveled out somewhat over the quarter. UK, we have not seen anything in our operation signalizing this. In fact, quite good demand there, as you can see partly from our Scottish result. And then it's the question on demand destruction. What we see here is obviously volumes going down 4.2%, but resulting in increased price in Europe of 18% quarter on quarter and in the area of 40 to 50% in the Americas market. So I would say the demand has to be strong for salmon if you take value into account. Obviously, we cannot sell more fish than produced. It's a sheer fact, but I would say demand is strong. And then there will always be this question around how high can you go in price, when will demand destruction kick in. If you think about it, and if you go back, really only 5 years, salmon was sold at €3, €3.50. Then prices have over the years increased, and we've always had that question. So I don't I don't see like a demand destruction just coming on now. It's that's been the prediction when the price surpassed 4 euros, when the price surpassed 5 euros, and when the price surpassed 6 euros, and when the price surpassed 7 euros. I think it's very much linked to development of new products, convenience, and obviously the supply situation. So it's hard from the numbers to read any demand destruction based on a reduction in supply with 4% and an increase in prices with the numbers I mentioned before.
I agree with that, but you also said previously, pointing out Russia and France, where you said yourself on a conference call a few quarters back that you'd seen that. So
No. If you look at the numbers, Russia obviously is a special market. If you take a look at the global volume by market, it shows Russia, you know, last 12 months rolling at 62,500 tons. That doesn't necessarily has to do with demand destruction. That has to do with the war in Ukraine. Norway, that was the big supplier into Russia, cannot sell salmon into Russia because of the embargo. And then the financial situation in Russia, the economy. So Russia is a complex situation. In France, again, difficult market. We see resistance in the smoked market in France, and we see a sort of a drop in volume into that market in the overall picture. That is correct. And you will always have markets like this when prices move up that we have seen before. But then this develops over time. And you can, in fact, do something about it too, both in terms of product development and also developing new markets going forward.
Thank you.
We'll go to our next question from Marcos Fernandez with SIA Fund.
Yes, hello. A couple of questions, if I may. The first one on Chile. Is it fair to assume that the Chilean increase in production will move more to the U.S. and maybe in frozen, which will affect less European prices? Is it fair, or it can affect all the prices in the second half? The second question would be on the egg concept. Maybe you can give us an update on how the egg concept is developing, and maybe only in theory if the project goes well, how much production it can bring and when.
Yeah. First to the Chilean question on Chile and the increase in supply there. And normally Chilean fish obviously sells to the closest market, into U.S. and into Brazil. And what we have seen, if you look at the first quarter this year, or the quarter we're commenting on, we've seen Chilean prices basically being at the same level as prices for European fish in terms as a reason of lack of supply of Chilean fish. I think you will see first an effect on prices for Chilean salmon in U.S. market in Brazil when supply comes back on, and then this will be adapted over time. Certainly, there can also go somewhat frozen production into Europe. That happens today. It was, as you can see from the numbers on page 24, dramatically down in quarter on quarter, Q1 17 and Q1 16. But, you know, with coming on production and more harvest from Chile, that will also be a result. So this is tied together, but over time, or in the beginning, the effect obviously will be highest in the close-up market. again, potential there to do something in terms of sales, in terms of value added, in terms of more and better distribution and better products to combat this. Then over to the egg concept. That's one of the development projects Marine Harvest has applied for. This is in process, and this is something we need a license to put in place. So Marine Harvest is still waiting for the Norwegian government to make up their mind. They have given a signal that we can expect to start on four licenses. Four licenses is really too small to start a project like this. We need more licenses to prove this concept on a complete site. We think in terms of, you know, supply and supply coming on, if we can produce, if we get the licenses we have applied for, we will be able to produce in the area of 14,000 tons on one site. But this project will be step by step. So first a pilot, then a prototype, and then a whole site. So these fish will come onto market. If we got the license awarded today, fish would not be in the marketplace before 2020. And only 10,000-15,000 tons in the first round. Then if you can industrialize this, it has potential, and it brings cost to the levels we want. Everything is easy on a spreadsheet, but if it holds its promises, it will significantly reduce production costs, even with higher depreciation, because it will take away the sea lice problem and also the problem of escaped fish, at least, no guarantee if super tanker runs into the system, it will break, but still. But to answer your question, it is still many years until you get significant volume from these projects.
Okay, thanks.
And at this time, there are no questions in queue.
Okay, then I say thank you very much for listening in, and have a nice afternoon or day continuing. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.